Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time!
With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer. Bruce Buffer.
From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about everything you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything at its time. COVID-19, politics, Trump, Biden, film, TV, UFC, sex, drugs, rock and roll. This is No Holds Barred Radio, folks, and today we're going to enter a world that we've discussed, we've touched on. We touch on it weekly, but we're going to touch on it huge today. So first, let me ask TJ. TJ, you're good? You had a great week? Everything's good?
I did. I'm excited about this show because this is the type of broadcast we've been talking about doing for, I want to say, at least 5 years, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this all stems from my love of collecting, my love of sports memorabilia, my love of collecting vintage movie memorabilia, guns and artifacts. We talk about it all on the show.
I mean, you're a classic buff. You're collecting yourself at this point.
I do collect myself at times. We'll talk about that on the show too. But, you know, my brother Brian is the master at all this, and we wanted to have Brian on. But right now, I've been doing some very interesting things over the last month as this whole area of sports memorabilia collecting has exploded. I wanted to bring on an expert on the show that lives, eats, and breathes sports memorabilia, has seen the trends as they've gone up. I won't even say up and down, up and up. So let's bring on our special guest from Memory Lane Collectibles, a very fine site, a very fine company. He'll talk more about it and what he has to offer. But let's bring on the owner, the expert, the man that knows it all, that we're going to get a lot of advice from today. And I want to go back and forth with Dan Wolken. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on the show, man. We've been wanting to do this show for so long, really.
My pleasure. No, I really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Dan. You know, sports memorabilia has been collected, you know, obviously since it began. I've been doing it now for 40 years. I remember, you know, going back, I started in the early 90s, going into the card shop, like here in Westwood, California, and buying packs of cards and opening them like I did as a kid, and buying things like, you know, the NBA 1986, you know, Fleer packs.
Oh,
like
yeah.
This. And I would buy this for $20. The very first time I bought one, I opened it up and I pulled out a Michael Jordan rookie card, you know, which is what this is right here, which is now the holy grail of modern day collecting rookie cards or whatever vintage rookie cards, however you want to look at it. And I sold that card for $1,100 about 11 years ago. And in a 10, what did it just sell for? A PSA grade of 10?
PSA 10s have gone between $600,000 and $700,000. It's insane. It's insane.
That's got to be hard to hear, Buff.
That's great. Yeah, it's great.
What's hard to hear is that about 60 days ago, our company sold 32 PSA 10 Jordan cards, including a PSA 10, a rookie, the rookie sticker, a second year sticker. Long story short, 60 days later, we ended up netting our buyer. He bought it for $250,000, the whole group. We netted him $900,000. And that was only 60 days ago. I could have held on to that instead of making a crumb. And I could have made $650,000.
Unbelievable. You know, on the show today, we're going to give a number of these examples because I want people, as we've been trying to impress them, Let's just talk about this, okay? You know, you have cryptocurrency, which when I bought at $25,000 a coin and invested, you know, a certain amount of money in it, which just watched it go down to nine, watched my money go down to less than half value, shooting up to, I sold it at 28 to get my money out, make a little bit of coin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, then it goes up to 55,000 a coin. And yesterday it goes down to 45,000 a coin. Which a point I'm trying to make is completely volatile.
It's a roller coaster. Okay?
It's a roller coaster. Yeah. Dan, back me up on this as I'm looking at this. I paid last week $16,100 for this card. You're going to find a, you're going to go after a card for me today on the internet that's being auctioned and hopefully get it for me to, for 14. So I can average both these cards down to like 15 each.
Yeah.
I've already seen this card selling eight in the last week for 19,000, right? Yeah. Cause you get great buys. With this going up and everything else, you might say, well, wait, you could have bought that card for $3,000 last September. You're paying 16,000 for it. Now the bubble's going to burst.
Is it?
I know it can burst. I know how that thing goes, or maybe sales can slow down. In 30 years, I have not seen on vintage cards and collectible hard to find cards like this. I have not seen the bubble burst, Dan. And I'll give you, we're going to give many more examples on the show. How do you feel about the current status in the future? And why are we going through this right now? Is it because of the Last Dance documentary that came on? What is your take on that?
You know, there's a lot of new money in the industry right now. I mean, you've got Kevin Durant buying his own cards. You have hedge funds coming in. You've got companies that are doing fractional sharing, you know, that are taking a card and selling shares of the card. But if you go back to the housing market crash, our industry really wasn't affected. Now we're in the heart of a pandemic. Unfortunately, our industry has gone through the stratosphere, not has gone up, has exploded.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a volcano in the right direction. And I think there's still, you know, when it's interesting, because we have a lot of some clients that say, you know, we've offered cards to, and they'll say, you know, that's expensive. I can't wrap my head around paying that kind of money. Perfect example, a PSA 7 Ruth rookie that we offered him at $1,000,001. Okay. $1,000,001. That same card probably 3 months later is now on the market being offered for over $3 million. But the last one sold for $600,000. So for him to pay like what you just said, paying $3,000 for a Jordan and then paying $16,000, how can you wrap your head around it? Well, the majority of people are saying they can't wrap their head around it. So the people that are spending the $15,000, $16,000 will reap the rewards, because I think this industry is still, it still has a lot of room, and it's got a lot, like we usually say, hey, there's some new money coming in. There is massive Wall Street new money. There's incredible.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm dumb, guys, but like, honestly, it's a lot easier for me to wrap my head around a trading card, a collectible, to go up the way that it does compared to shares of a company in stock. Like that, you got to be a financial guy, but I understand. Look, I have this, you know, rated grade 10 rookie card of Michael Jordan. Of course, that's going to go up in money. There's only so many of those where when Apple announces shares and volume, I'm lost. I don't get it.
Well, here's the other thing. Dan, tell me if I'm wrong on this. Here's the other thing, is that when you go on PSA, you can see how many of each of these cards have been graded. In other words, this Jordan that I have is an 8. Okay. And there's only so many 8s. There's like maybe 20 10s. Or whatever. And then you have cards that are not graded out there. So what I tell people on the show, and it's hard now because there's a huge waiting list, but when your card is graded, it's almost guaranteeing almost a 50 to 100% increase in the value that you can get for that card.
Sorry to interrupt you, Bruce, but how do you get them graded?
Dan, why don't you answer that question for me, please?
Sure. You know, PSA is the card grading company. They're the Rolls Royce of the industry. You would go online to psacard.com. And it's psacard.com. And that's where you'll submit. But just keep in mind that the lower tier, they're so behind since the industry has been really amped up. They're so behind in getting cards graded. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing and a bad thing, because, you know, you're going to wait a long time. But they have submission forms at the top right-hand corner of their homepage where it says submit, and you would join their collectors club. And a Jordan rookie like that, you're going to want to spend decent money to get it graded right away. So you might do a 5-day service. Their 5-day service right now is at about 40 days, 40 business days or 50 business days. You just do it, because the more cards that come out that are graded, if you do the cheaper side, it might take a year to get that back.
Well, do you have to ship it to them, Dan? Like, how do they get access to the card, or can it be done, you know, in person?
Yeah, you'll ship the card to them, you know, in a secured box. And they have their, it's like Fort Knox at PSA. They've got cameras for incoming. They have cameras everywhere. And that's where, you know, and they're the, again, like I said before, they're the Rolls Royce to the industry. And they're who you, like Bruce said, you want to get them graded by PSA.
You're not worried about shipping them through whatever UPS, FedEx, et cetera? Because, I mean, I understand it's not going to sit on a front porch of PSA, right? But, like, you know, I do worry every time. Because from time to time, I have to ship, you know, high-end electronics. I mean, I buy that insurance, and I haven't had a problem yet, but I still get worried every time.
You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we run an auction house, you know, Memory Lane. And people send us stuff. And there are a couple of people that say, well, I'm not going to ship this autographed Michael Jordan basketball. It's worth $5,000. You know, we have $1 million cards shipped to us.
Right.
You know, and we have a rider where we'll give our account number and stuff like that to cover it. But I don't worry. I guess when you worry, when you live in fear, you attract fear.
Sure.
No question. No fear. Big cheers and no fears is what I always say. Dan, let's go through a little test here. You've got that. You got the ability to tell me within seconds what a card went for the last time was auctioned, correct?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you a few things that I just bought, like in the last couple years. Okay, and tell me what they're worth, and I'll tell you what I paid. And you tell me what they're worth. Okay.
Okay.
So right now, here's a 1961-62 Will Chamberlain Fleer basketball pack. Okay.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Wow.
I bought two of these at $1,100 each. Now this is a 7.5. The other one's an 8. So let's go with the 8. What did the last one in an 8 sell for? 61-62 Fleer, which could have Wilt Chamberlain's rookie card in it.
Jeez. You know, I'd have to look at our inventory on that, but my guess is that has to be like 7 to 10X just on that pack, like 7 to 10,000, you know, and you paid $1,100 when?
I paid $1,100 for that 5 years ago.
Yeah, that you go find one. I mean, that's a great, great pack. And beautiful.
Here's another one. 1954 Bowman baseball. Jeez. PSA, or excuse me, guy 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a 10.
That's insane. That's probably also 54 Bowman. 54 Bowman baseball. So you're looking at like the Williams, the Mantle. We just sold a Mantle 8.5. And I think we have a 9 in our auction now. That's also probably, you know, a $7,000 to $10,000 pack. What'd you pay for that?
Unbelievable.
I bought that pack about 4 years ago and I paid $1,500 for it.
Yeah. I was going to say like $2,000. And it's amazing because you can't unopen also. Has gone through the stratosphere as well. I mean, you're talking years ago, you could buy this right here, an 80-81 Topps basketball box. That $1,100, you could have bought this like 7-8 years ago. 1,100, 36 packs. You're talking about $30 a pack. One of these just recently sold for $100,000.
Oh my God.
Dan. Excuse me, Dan. Will I?
Oh no, Buffer. Like would you unload a lot of them?
I've talked about this on the show. I had that box. I bought it 6 years ago for I bought it for $450. Oh, I sold it 4 years ago for $1,100.
Unbelievable. But that's still a good return on investment, though. Obviously, I mean, take the end number out of it, Buffer. I understand. Don't do that to yourself. But take the end number out of it. It still was a good investment.
Well, they always say when you make money, it's always a great investment. But here's the thing, though, Dan. That box went for $50,000 like a month ago. You're telling me it went for $100 last time?
Yeah.
This is where this is going. This is just fakaka. This is going crazy.
I don't know what that word means. What?
It's a Yiddish word meaning covered in shite.
Okay, got it.
This is the second year Jordan box, which is, believe it or not, this box is tougher than finding an 86-87 Fleer box, even though the value is different. These are going to continue to fly through the roof. You could have got these boxes 6 months ago for $15,000. These, in my opinion, these will approach 100K because 86 Fleer boxes, which were about 45,000 about 6 to 8 months ago, are now trading at about 275,000. Wow.
So, and I am happy to say, as I announced on the show last week, I bought that box, TJ, last week for $65,000, which Dan is aware of. And I really believe that by the end of the year, it's going to be a $100,000 box. It's already being hawked on the web now for $90,000 to $115,000.
What's it going
to
be 5 years from now? That's, you know, the real question, too. And I assume it's going to go up. I mean,
it's the epitome of not. How could it not? It's the epitome of what you call a gold brick. Now, by the way, Dan, Steve Hart just sold one 2 days ago. Do you know what he got for it?
I think he got $85,000. He posted one for $85,000, and I think he posted another now for about $100,000. But I'm telling you, people say, well, these prices won't, you know, they will not sustain. And I love the naysayers. Go ahead and say it's not going to sustain because they're not printing anymore 87, 88 Fleer boxes. Go find
their famous last words. You're not going to find a storage locker with 100,000 of these things just sitting around to lower the supply and demand.
Yeah, I'll tell you, let alone one, just one.
Right.
I mean, and then you have the third year, this box, all three of these boxes I'm showing you are in our next auction. But this box just went, you could have got this third year Jordan box for about 3,500, I would say 3-4 months ago. Now this is a $15,000 box.
That's
and
crazy.
They're not going down.
Now, Dan helps me, TJ, on some transactions. And Dan, let's talk about a transaction right now. I want to get your opinion. There's an 88 box like that that's going to be auctioned off today or tomorrow. It's on the web right now. What's a good price to pay for it? And if you think $15,000 is good, will you try and buy it for me?
Absolutely.
We'll make sure to release this after that auction closes, Buff.
Yeah.
Right. I'm willing to pay up to $9,500.
Right.
No, but there is one of those boxes going off today. And if I could get it for 15, I think it's still a dynamite investment.
Yeah, it is, because they're not printing more of this stuff. It looks new. It one just went for $3,000. I got to be crazy to pay 15. It's not the case. Let the naysayers say that they're crazy for paying 15, and then we pay that, and then we reap the rewards.
I have a couple questions on these boxes real quick, if you don't mind. Is it ever worth the gamble to open them? Obviously, they're selling for really high prices, but is there a possibility that opening the cards and getting them out and then reselling them individually, is that ever worth the risk?
You know, I don't think it's worth the risk, and I compare it to like getting Darth Vader in the original box. You don't want to open up the toy and play with it.
Right.
I think that with the vintage appearance of the boxes and the packs, and I'll tell you what, if you know, it's big. Steve Hart, Bruce was mentioning that Steve Hart's the head authenticator for PSA when it comes to unopened material. If you were to buy a box, the best thing I would say is if you want to roll the dice, you open the box. I'm not saying the packs. Open the box, take the packs out, get the packs graded.
Right.
Bruce was showing those 61 Fleer basketball. You get the packs graded and you'll elevate. You get nines. It's tough to get a 10, but even if you get nines, you will elevate the value of that box because it's sealed.
Right.
It's sealed with Steve Hart's wrapper. And that's where, but opening up the cards, I've got a client that's opened up in the last month, 281 Tops football boxes to try and get Montana, an 84 Tops, an 84 Tops football to get Marino and Elway, 83 Tops baseball to get Boggs, Gwynn, Sandberg. He hasn't done well. He's been pretty much crushed because you don't know what you're going to. And if you get two Montanas, sometimes they're off-centered. So to answer your question, you know, roundabout way, keeping those boxes sealed or opening up and getting the packs graded, that's the way to go.
Isn't there usually two or four of each card in a total box?
Absolutely. There's in wax boxes, you got 36 packs at 15 cards a pack, 36 packs at 15 cards in each pack. So you have 540. In a cello, you have 600 cards, which would be 24 packs with 25 cards per pack.
Gotcha. And you know, it was 3 weeks ago.
Real quick, Bruce, I just want to ask one more question. It's a two-part question. The other question that I had about the unopened packs is obviously this is a huge moneymaker for people. With that comes nefarious people. You know, how easy is it for people to counterfeit this, especially if you're not opening it? Because really, all you need to do is make that box and then have a shrink wrapper.
Good question.
Yes, I'm going to reach and get some of these packs. A friend of mine, my friend Austin, just gave me these packs. they're raw. You're talking an 81 football. You have some older basketball. Good question. The biggest thing, if you're going to buy a raw pack, what Topps did was they ended up putting rollers that like,
okay,
where the middle of the pack, you'll see lots of dull wax.
Right.
And the roller goes here and the roller goes there. So as long as that's connected, you're about 95% sure that when you're buying a raw pack that it's going to be good. But if you see like wax all over here, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, great question. People have been known to reseal, to open up, take the yep. star card out, reseal, and then you're in trouble because you just bought a pack. How are you going to prove that you opened it up and got nothing?
Yeah. You know? What if you bring something to PSA that looks suspicious? Like they won't even grade it, I would assume, right?
Well, you have to submit it through their online submission form, and then they'll determine whether it's been tampered with. So it wouldn't be authentic. It would be resealed, which is really unfortunate.
Right.
You know, to find. There were some people back in the day that I won't mention names, but there were some people that were pulling those types of shenanigans. And it's unfortunate, you know, but that's why a lot of raw stuff that will get submitted to us for the auction, sometimes it's resealed.
But you're confident on the highest end that this is definitely able to be avoided.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. As long as you – and listen, there's no deal. You know, when a deal is too good to be true, err on the side of safety that it's too good to be true.
Right.
You just have to be careful. And, you know, your listeners want to hit me up and say, hey, what do you think about this? I can give my opinion, you know, free opinions, free appraisal, and help people out, you know, because it's policing the hobby and it helps. It helps right. me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check out Dan at Memory Lane INC, memorylaneinc.com. Check out his site. Dan's right. Dan's always willing to help. It's part of the reason, like I share, we have passion for what we're doing and we love what we do. Dan, I got a business question for you. Okay. I asked you, I'll share that with our audience too. Dan helps me, TJ, for a couple reasons, and very generous in his help and his time. So there's a Jordan 86-8 going out now. We were going to try to get for 14 grand today.
Yes.
Now, I just sent you on a text the 88 Fleer box, which will go off tomorrow. Right. It's a 12.8 right now. Where would you put 14 or 15 Gs? Would you buy the box or would you buy the rookie card?
I would buy both. Sorry to Dan, go inside your wallet.
Dan, I'm putting you on carte blanche. Will you try to get this NBA box for me?
Absolutely.
Also?
And let me show you.
I owe you the best dinner. I owe you the best dinner in town. You know that.
It's a pay it forward. It's a pay it forward. But check this out. 79-80 Topps wax box could have Gretzky's in it.
Wow.
This is the 1979-80 Topps wax hockey box. Really, really cool. And you were Brian, right?
Yeah,
You were saying before, you know, about opening up packs. Some people open up packs to get high-end cards. But let me tell you, this one, the SP, the 93 SP baseball, a Jeter 10. I'm trying to buy a Jeter 9 now. I could have had one last week for $32,000. Now the guy wants $42,000. That, a PSA, a 1993 SP Jeter Upper Deck 9. Is the card to get now, even if you have to pay probably $42,000, because a 10, if a 10 ever came up, it's a foil card of his rookie. If it ever came up in a 10, that card would be $750,000 because it's made of foil.
Oh man. And
it's so
it just sold for $750,000, didn't it?
Possibly.
I read where the Jeter card sold for $750,000.
You guys are getting me excited because I have a Foot Locker full of baseball cards from the 90s. And I know that most of them are not worth any money.
Worth going through, TJ. It's worth going through.
No, but that's my point. I've written them off. I mean, I was collecting in 93. I don't know if I bought, you know, from that set, but I know I have Derek Jeter cards. I don't know if they're foil per se, but I do know. I mean, I haven't opened this box in 20 years. I just wrote that stuff off, Dan, is largely non-consequential because of, you know, I mean, everyone knows the story of the Griffey rookie cards, right? Like everyone knows that I just basically got so turned off by it that I just stopped. And maybe I do have some nuggets in there that are worth some money.
Yeah. And Bruce, I'll tell you, we need to get you one of these boxes because these were about a month ago. They were about $8,000. Someone listed one on eBay for the wrong title. My friend just paid $8,800, but they're going for about $14,000 to $15,000. And as that Jeter creeps up and up and up, and they're not grading anymore, the foil's so tough, that's a box that you're going to want to get and put away.
All right, here we go. We got Dan on the line. Let's do this. Let's make a deal. Dan, I've got this Foot Locker. No idea what's in it.
Okay.
How much should Bruce buy it from me for?
You know what? We could have an auction right now. I start the bidding at $100. Bruce?
There you go. You know what? It's not the kind of bidding I like to do. I like to know what I'm buying.
Well, Bruce, how about this? How about this? I bring it over and we go through it together.
That I would love to do. That's always listen, that's part of the fun. That's
that
part of the fun,
fun
of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's fun. Hey, I'll tell you, we're always going to be kids. This is the passion that keeps us ultra young.
I mean, that's what is fun about it. Like you talk about people not being able to wrap their heads around it. Fine. I understand if you can't comprehend that kind of money, but the fact that you can sit down and still interact with these things, opened or unopened, that was the reason that most of us did it when we were younger anyway.
Yes. Totally. And my brothers, I'll tell you, my grandfather, the way I got into it, like in a second, my grandfather owned a candy store in the Bronx because I grew up in upstate New York. And when he'd visit, he'd bring a box of cards for me and two and one for my older brothers. And they loved the gum. I loved the cards. When my mom said, hey, make sure you're doing your homework, I said, okay, shut the door, brought out the 5,000 count box. And I put all the cards in order 56 different times. And it was the best.
Yeah.
It was the best. Like who needed school when you can learn about the baseball card market at 12 years old.
And you saying that, Dan, that I'm like very anal when it comes to organizing anything like alphabetical order, media, things like that. I think that was bred into me because I was the kid that was opening up the complete set of baseball cards and then putting them either in order by, you know, the teams or by, you know, item number. Like I love that stuff to this day. There's a Zen feeling to it.
Yes. 100%.
Especially when you put them on the spokes of your bike and you hear that Zen feeling as you're riding down the street.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Hey, Dan, I also got it. I bought a box of 89 Fleer basketball with Jordan's fourth year rookie in it.
Yeah.
Six, seven, eight, nine. And I paid $15.75. Did I pay a good price for that?
Yes, you did. And those are undervalued right now because they're all the Fleer from those first 4 years, even the fifth year is starting to creep up. But all that stuff, there were such limited runs of that. And I'll tell you, with the 86, this is the reason why they're so scarce. When these boxes came out, they ended up going to Hallmark stores. They didn't sell. So in order to get for the owner of the Hallmark store to get their money back, they would take a black marker and put an X on it. And that's why you've seen boxes with X's. And then they send them back. They get their $10. What blows me away is that these are 12, the basketball were 12 box cases. You could have paid $120 for the case, put it in your garage. Let's say you forgot about it. That same case today is worth $4 million for $120 investment. Yeah. $120 without exaggeration, $120, now $275,000 a box. But if the case is sealed, it's worth more.
That's the first deal I've heard that's on par with the Fertittas buying the UFC for $2 million and selling it for $4 billion plus.
It's just a ratio, just the same. It's incredible. Yeah. And, you know, again, one thing I want to state here, it's one thing to say something's worth $200,000. Right. The fact of the matter is people are paying $200,000. Yep. Okay, these are gold bricks that are liquidable.
Well, that was one thing I wanted to ask Dan about is he said an item was undervalued. Is there a way to read trends? Like, I know that there are analysts that are day traders and they do all sorts of, you know, reading of trends and stocks. Can you do that in the collectible business?
Here's how you're going to do it. And I'm going to give all this free information and people are going to make money on this. Follow auctions about a day before an auction closes. If something is extremely high, let's say in a 1959 Topps Bob Gibson rookie card in a 10, which is in an auction right now, Heritage, and that's going to close probably at 300,000. So you follow suit to the PSA 9s, 8.5s, 8s, 7s, even a 6. I've been buying Reggie Jackson rookie cards because there's a 10 that's about to go off. I've been watching. You can either watch how cards are settling and what they're going for. And the reason I say a day before, not the day of, because then everybody's going to know that a record was hit. But if you go the day before and kind of gauge what you think it's going to go for, start getting the lower grade cards, or you start looking for the wax, the unopened boxes, because the unopened boxes are going to start to, you know, creep up as these new bars are set. And like Bruce said, gold bars. I mean, this is gold, and it's an asset. And guess what? Bruce, you're performing 100 times better than a stockbroker.
I mean, it's amazing.
If we're in the bank, we're getting 0.001.
Right.
The stockbroker could make us 4%. Guess what? We're killing it. We're doing so better than those guys.
Hey, what has the modern market done as far as collectibles are concerned? Because obviously we're talking about vintage stuff, but are the modern companies that are still producing things essentially producing product in mind with, you know, this market being as booming as it is?
Let me touch on that real quick, Dan, before you do, is that there's been many instances recently, like LeBron James card, which was like 1-of-1 that went for, like, again, I could be wrong, 1.8 million, you know, another couple of basketball players right now. Rob Kardashian, Kim Kardashian's brother, he's been opening up cards. He just opened up a rare Honus Wagner card, right, that is told is supposed to be worth around $50,000. And he pulled the card out of a 2020 Topps Dynasty pack. That he purchased for $750 from Bullpen Card Shop, which is down the street from where I live here in L.A.
Oh, cool.
Did they market that pack as having those vintage cards in it?
Dan, you can answer that.
Well, these are inserts where you'll buy boxes. I mean, there are boxes that go for $20,000 a box where you get Uno card. You get one card and it's gambling, but you do get an asset. It's not Vegas gambling. It's gambling, getting an asset.
The money, it goes back to what we were talking about. That's the fun of it. That's the joy of it.
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you, on that note, my friend FaceTimed me about 3 days ago. He's with his wife and 5 kids. 7 kids are on the table. They're passing packs and opening them up. And that joy is like 100-fold versus the dollar. Like you said, if you can afford it, then that's... See,
I thought that was dead, Dan. Like, that really actually warms my heart to know that tradition is coming back.
100%. And I'll tell you, there's so much new money coming in that for Bruce to buy an 86 Fleer PSA 8 Jordan for 15 grand, whatever, it's still because the passion, it's like a reboot. It's like a total This pandemic has shown us a reboot and a recharge of life, you know.
For our listeners listening, we're talking about some very big dollar, you know, amounts, and I'm not trying to overly impress anybody. Whatever, this is what it takes to collect.
This is business. I mean, it's business.
That's the level that we're collecting, and again, it's just an amazing thing when you can put $15,000 into something, which I feel will be worth at least twice that much a year from now. I'm not going to get that return anywhere.
Right.
Yes. Right. Anyway, and when you can put it on eBay and sell it yourself, you're right. It's like it's a whole new form of collecting. Dan, I have a few more things here I want to go over.
Sure.
With you. Graded 8, the year I was born, 1957, unopened Topps baseball.
Man,
1857. They had cards 19, when you were born 19, in 18. Oh,
19. Sorry, 1957.
No, you said 19. I was just joking.
It's a guide graded. It's the second series.
Yeah, call that GAI. Yeah. And that it's interesting because that for the people that are seeing this, a nickel pack has 5 cards in it, where a penny pack will have 1 card. And 57 Topps nickel pack. That's insane.
I paid $2,700 6 years ago. I have no idea what it's worth right now. I know it did
also probably 8,000 to 10,000.
Yeah, it was 6,000, I think, a year ago. It went for 5,700.
All right, Buffer, you better have a vault in your house. My goodness, you're showing a lot of merchandise.
For a record on thing, I only have so much in my house. I have other places very well protected. Like I always say, TJ, you'd be very, very wrong to try and come to this house if you know
right.
Unless you come with a footlocker of unknown collectibles. And then
that's different. And a smile on your face, it's all good. And a COVID negative test.
You got it. Fine.
Right. There's the unknown comic, but now you're the unknown collector.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're buried 6 feet deep somewhere.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to ask, Dan. Obviously, you know, with more money, more interest, there's going to be more people getting involved in the space. You know, what do you think about that? I'm sure there are people that are making mistakes and maybe getting taken advantage of. What would you give some of these, you know, first time collectors as far as advice is concerned?
You know, don't go overboard in paying these mid six figures for these cards that are signed with a piece of jersey in them. You know, I think it comes down to, at first, buy what you love, buy what you're passionate about. It's just like buying, if you're buying art, buy because you love the image. That deep down, that's what you want to do. Buy because you love it. You love Michael Jordan.
Right.
And then, you know, start to figure out with the trends is, you know, follow auctions and see what things are going for. And then with that in mind, you can look on eBay for realized prices. And that kind of gives you a good gauge. I mean, things are going like erratically up and up and up. So it's kind of like a day trading daily type thing right now, where it used to be something will go up in like 6 months or a year or 2 years. This stuff is daily. So I would say just keep your eye out on auctions and auctions on eBay, you know, and that kind of gives you a great barometer, you know, but collect what you love.
Right. I was just going to say that too, Dan. Like, when you think about it, like, obviously if you want to try to, you know, make money and do that, you know, go all in. But if you are someone that is a hobbyist, don't go into it just because you want the money. Go into it because even if it does depreciate, it still makes you feel good that you have this, that it's something that you want.
Bruce said something before, which is a good take on, go to psacard.com, press the pop report, which now is free to the public, and you'll be able to tell how many cards are in a PSA 10, how many nines, how many eights, how many cards were graded overall from that year. So, I mean,
things have changed. It's no longer going to the local magazine shop and getting a Beckett and going down the...
Right, you know, right.
And Beckett was never really... I didn't really ever care for Beckett that much personally. I mean, it was a guideline, but
sure.
I like to see on eBay, or like you said, see what they actually sell for. But I'm just going to tell everybody right now, if you want to cut it short, if you want to play it safe, you need to deal with reputable dealers, you need to deal with somebody that's honest and knows what they're doing, just go to memorylaneinc.com. Just to go to Dan's place, okay? Communicate with Dan. He'll set you straight. His prices are great. I'm pushing this, Dan, because you're great at what you do.
Thank you.
Be on the show. A few more questions. Okay.
Sure.
Other areas outside of sports that I happen to like, and this is part of passion, I collected a few of my old TV show cards, like the Green Hornet. Okay.
Yeah.
And these also have gone up. Now, I mean, as much as sports.
I didn't even know that thing existed. Well. That's crazy.
They're the Green Hornet. And here's one I'm sure you'll love, which is one of my faves, which is Lost in Space.
Oh, man.
This is a valuable pack. That just
looks expensive. I mean, that looks so vintage. Yeah. I mean, how could it not be expensive?
Vintage. Yeah.
Now, there's another holy grail card out there. We're going to discuss this too, Dan. As you know, the UFC collectibles are taking off like crazy. In 2009, the very first Topps UFC cards were issued, which I have a case, and I got two cases the second year. And here's my little holy grail card. I have about 12 Topps cards, but here's a graded 8 Bruce Buffer signatory card.
Nice.
Right. Are you sure Bruce Buffer signed that?
Bruce Buffer signed it. Trust me, I know he did. Topps gave me a little coin to sign some cards. So trust me, I remember cashing the check. So yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if I could buy that off of you, Bruce. I don't know if you're reputable for that.
But Dan, your opinion. You're in sports cards. You're funny, TJ. You're in sports cards and everything else. Okay, tell the audience, unsolicited from me, what's going on with UFC memorabilia right now?
You know, UFC. I'll tell you, in our industry, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, that type of stuff. We have buyers in Australia, Japan, China. When you talk about UFC, that is universe wide. That is earth wide. I mean, everywhere, you know, every country, you have people coming from all over the world that are fighters. And I think that industry, that part of the industry is undervalued, absolutely undervalued. I mean, and you see as these guys come up the ranks and they have their first fight, second fight, you can kind of tell, you know, with signed stuff, or that there's still a lot of value and a lot of room to collect these types of items, and things that weren't worth a lot years ago are just starting. That's the reason why they weren't worth a lot years ago. And now there's interest that is so peaked that I think is just a great, you know, it's a great buy if you love MMA, you know, UFC.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree too. Cause like I started collecting and created a collector market for the fight cards that I hold in my hand, as we've discussed before.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And
I'm pretty sure I gave you that idea, Buff. I'm pretty sure I was the one who gave you the idea.
I don't know if I can say yes to that, but I'll give you a little credit if you
can. You can. It was right after Sonnen and Anderson too.
All right, cool. I'll take it because, you know, it proved very profitable. I was able to make some nice donations to charity and stuff like that. But my
let me say this. I gave you the idea by asking you to give me the cards, and you said, no, I'm going to sell those. And then you gave me cards from a different fight not too long down the road.
Which you probably still have a nice $1,000 plus set of cards.
I do.
That's cool.
But those cards, when I first sold them, they sold for like $500 a set, you know, and then a bigger show happened.
That's so low value too. Yeah. Like, oh my God, they're one of a kind.
One of a kind. Then I got like $2,000 and $3,000. Then we sold them piecemeal and somebody paid $4,200 for the Chris Cyborg Amanda Nunes card. Right. Yeah. So it's like and it fluctuates. It's just it's amazing. But I created a market for the cards.
And you know what's great about those cards? You can also print something out from the fight and do kind of a photo match.
Oh,
to
yeah.
That add more value, more, you know.
Trust me, you can see Bruce's handwriting on these things. They're one of a kind. They're like pieces of art in themselves. Like, I don't know when he has the time to get the color crayons out, but you're using all sorts of different markers, Buff.
I buy one of those signed by you, Bruce. If you have one extra one, I don't care what fight it's from.
Ooh,
I would buy one of those.
I've got a bunch. I've got like seven, Dan. Let's talk turkey.
I'd love it.
we'll work something out, Dan. You've been really good to me. We'll work something out. No problem. You know, it's funny because I have, you talk about gold bricks or whatever. I mean, I have cases of this stuff. You know,
show you. A couple other cards that we have coming up in the auction, talking about gold bricks.
Yeah, show us.
This is a Mantle rookie card in a
holy
PSA.
Holy crap!
That'll go for about 150 to 200,000.
Wow!
And then this is a holy grail in our industry. That's Babe Ruth's rookie card.
Oh my God!
I didn't even know there was a Babe Ruth rookie card.
Yeah,
look how thin he is.
But yeah, about $1 million that'll most likely hit. And then the last one, really cool. This is such a tough. It's a 33 Gaudi. It's signed. It's signed by Ruth.
Signed.
Oh my God, really? Wow.
And these are few and far between. So that'll probably hit about 200 to a quarter mil.
Wow.
On that.
And that market's never going to go up. There's never going to be a bunch of signed Babe Ruth crap from out of nowhere.
Right. That it'll continue to rise. And it's all about supply and demand. And just to touch base on what you said before, Brian, vintage is a lot of where it's at. A lot of the new stuff goes straight up and straight down. You know, you're talking Luka Doncic cards were $2,000, even though he's one of the greatest NBA players. That card went to $2,000. And now I think they're settling around, the base card from Panini is settling around $1,200. So these new guys like Ja Morant, and you know, you have to be careful, you know, that you're not buying those at the peak. And then you'll find out in the pop report on PSA that there are over 15,000 tens because that card is so hard that it's, you know, even if you throw it around, it's not gonna, you know, the material is so hard. So that you kind of want to be careful, back to what you were asking, on what you're gonna throw your money in. If you think you have to do your due diligence and check out the pop report. And if things are, you know, at a peak, you just have to really do your homework.
No, I agree. I'm just all about vintage. You know, I'm sure 86 Fleer, the cars are talking about, might not be considered vintage.
That's vintage.
Is that considered vintage?
I'm all
about vintage. I'm all about vintage.
Not
all
vintage, about vintage, but it's legitimate that you have a take on what is produced on that stuff, as opposed to a company. And I'm not saying Panini is still printing 2018-19, but we know that 86 Fleer, that there's X amount and they're not printing anymore and they're tough as hell to find.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. What about the big craze too now is the Pokemon cards. You know, there's Steve Aoki's into it. Logan Paul's into it. I mean, 200,000, 100,000. I mean, again, not an area of collecting that does anything for me because I'm not passionate about it. Do you touch on those things, Dan? Do you get into that stuff too?
Not really, but I have a friend. I'll tell you, my friend David is a an expert in that field, and I'm tempted to buy like a full base set in like PSA 8s just to have it and put away and start learning about it. Cause we're an authorized dealer with PSA and people call and they want to submit cards through us. And believe it or not, 90% of the calls right now are, I've got this Pokemon card, or I have this first issue from 1999, yeah, first edition. So I'm learning right now,
right,
that the Japanese cards are worth a lot less. The American cards are worth a lot more. And you have shadow cards, and I'm learning. Yeah. I decided I'll learn about it.
About 30 years ago, I got into Magic the Gathering. I was a kid, you know, I was playing Magic cards. Yeah. And some of those cards that I had that, I mean, unfortunately, I just basically destroyed because I was playing the game and wasn't protecting those cards. They're worth tens of thousands of dollars at this point. And yeah, unfortunately, they're not in the best of shape.
Yeah. Magic is slowly like starting to trend up on that now.
You know what? Stick with the gold. Stick with the vintage,
yeah,
stick with the stuff,
yeah,
that works, stick with the stuff that I've seen. And Brian, you know, who's a master at this, we've watched diligently for 30 plus years. It's like I can say in real estate, I've watched every recession we've had since I moved out here in 76 or 74 rather. And all I've ever seen real estate do is, sure, it suffers a little bit, then boom. If you have good real estate, it all gets more valuable.
Yes, you know, 100%.
And these are, it's been proven. Wall Street Journal many years ago, 20 years ago, wrote an article when we were in a recession and said that the strong bricks during the recession were numismatic coins and stamps, sports memorabilia, and vintage guns and artifacts. Two of three of things which I collect, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, living here in Southern California, Bruce, the only way I'm ever going to be able to buy real estate is if I make money on some of these collectibles.
Well, had you had a box of 86 Fleer, you know.
Yeah, and I'll tell you,
you have your house today.
You know what? Also, when I was talking about passion and collecting, like Bruce, you collect guns and artifacts, stuff like that. I actually do collect non-sports stuff, and maybe next time I can show you. I have a document signed twice by Al Capone.
That's I collect stuff like that too. That would turn me on to own something like that, no question.
There are only eight of those, and he signed it twice. May Capone and Teresa Capone, the mom and the wife, because he was buying, I think, a house for his mom. Eight of those exist.
Wow.
And to find an Al Capone autograph, and I actually like mafia stuff. Like I have canceled checks signed by Roy DeMeo, Joe Bonanno, Carlo Gambino, like a lot of that stuff. You know, when mobsters back in the day needed money, they would contact me knowing that I love that type of stuff. So I dealt with Henry Hill and Frank Collada, and that type of stuff. There's stories, you know.
I'm sorry. I love this. I lied. Yeah. I interrupted you. Finish your thought.
Yeah. And I also have a check from the 1800s signed by Charles Dickens. How could you find a check?
What?
160 years ago or whatever, 157 years ago. And it's signed by Charles Ticket.
That is unbelievable.
With proper authentication, this stuff is worth so much.
Encapsulated by PSA.
You know, I'll mention a couple things while we're talking about Memory Lane Collectibles, proper to your company name. But Steve McQueen was a good friend of mine the last 6 years of his life. And Bruce Lee used to come over and train him, right, before he passed away. And on Steve's wall, which I've been wanting ever since I met him and I'm still trying to get it from his son, Chad, there's a document on the wall, which is a Jeet Kune Do graduation document signed by Bruce Lee to Steve McQueen.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Can you imagine what that's worth? It's beautiful.
I don't want to say what it's worth out loud because you still want it. So I'm not.
But no, he knows the McQueen memorabilia. They auctioned off his motorcycles and a bunch of stuff after he died. I think they got $1.6 million. It'd probably go for $20-30 million today.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you want to hear a small world? My client's father was Steve McQueen's agent.
Oh, wow.
What's his name?
Last name is Rappaport.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
What a small world. That's
very small.
From
very
Detroit. Small. Yeah.
Wow. Incredible. That
this was so much fun. We got to do this again, guys. Honestly, Dan, you got to come back on the show.
Oh, we have it. To. We have
any,
to. There's
any time. I'd love it. I'm honored to, you know, I'd love it.
Let me give you another little tidbit here. Sorry, TJ. Henry Hill. Henry Hill, for those of you who are listening, if you don't remember, if you ever saw the movie Goodfellas, Ray Liotta character, Ray's a buddy too. Just a funny guy. Ray was at a poker game with me one time, right? And one of my friends asked him, he goes, what's your favorite line from a movie? Right. And Ray Liotta turns to him and goes, excuse me, TJ,
fuck you. Like that. and my friend, my friend goes like this. What did I say wrong? He goes, you asked me what my favorite line was. Right. I'm telling you what my favorite line was.
Love it.
That's a good rendition of his voice.
Yeah. Well, he's got the voice.
I love Leota. I love that guy.
One of the finest character actors walking. But so he played Henry Hill in the movie. And when I lived in Marina Del Rey at the Venice Pier, when I had my beach house, Henry Hill was homeless living down at the pier. You know, I could see him every day. He would live under. This is the guy that was depicted in the movie. He wound up living homeless by the beach in Marina Del Rey and died there, too. They found him dead down there, too.
Yeah. Strange.
Weird how life changes.
Past. Yeah. Full circle. You're right.
It's crazy. You know, Dan, I really want to thank you. This has been so awesome. And we have to have you back on the. As a matter of fact, we're going to keep a running report, as TJ knows, on these collectibles. I know these are expensive, and we're just going to keep telling everybody how they're going up and up and up.
I think only we need to have Dan on like quarterly, like honestly, like you report stocks and things like that quarterly. Like we need to do a collectible show quarterly.
We'll get you back on, Dan. And Dan, again, the 88 Fleer box or the Jordan, which one, Dan? We'll get both.
You know, I'll flip a coin, but my coin has heads on both sides. So if you pick heads, you gotta get both.
I'll tell you what, if you can get the Jordan for the price that we discussed,
yes.
Great. If it doesn't go, let it go.
Yeah.
But if you get the 88 for the price we discussed, we'll get it.
Yeah. So the Fleer box closes tomorrow.
Yeah. It goes tomorrow.
Right. Perfect. Perfect. So we'll go for the Jordan today.
Okay. I got to go to work. I got money. I got bills to pay. Jesus.
Right.
All right. Sounds good, Dan. Dan, thank you so much again, everybody. Memory Lane INC, memorylaneinc.com. Dan Wolkin, I'm telling you, reputable, honest, which is very important in this business. You just don't buy this stuff from anybody, okay? You buy from reputable dealers. If you buy on eBay, you want that 5-star seller rating. You don't want anybody that's got less than 5 stars or whatever it is. And you got to be careful no matter where you go.
You're right.
TJ, you said earlier, yes, there is a lot of stuff going on in collecting. If things are worth money, somebody's going to find a way to sell something that shouldn't be sold.
That's what human beings do, unfortunately, you know? So,
TJ, you're right. You got to look out for that fraud.
Yeah.
Here's one little example where Dan goes. Dan, I had you go after a Michael Jordan card last night for me. Right. Yeah. I thought I was going to get it for like the 14 or 13 that we were discussing to average down the price.
Right.
Dan, to show you how great Dan is, TJ, he calls me back. He says, I looked closely at the card. There's a line through the lower left hand corner. Your card's graded in a high 8, like an 8.9. This is a low 8. That's why it's not going for the price that it should, you know.
That analysis is pivotal when making these high end transactions.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can make a mistake like this. You can make an easy mistake.
Yep.
You're right. And it would be annoying if you, like, say you average down and you got that for 13 when you paid 16. You're like, oh, that's great. Now I'm going to vote for 14.5. Well, that one card that has that line, it's a low end 8, you might not get that kind of money on the average. Just not all 8s, 9s, or 10s are created equal. Put it
that way. Exactly. Perfect way to put it.
Great point.
So everybody, I encourage you, check out memorylaneinc.com. Deal with reputable dealers. You can tell by Dan being on the show in this business, honest, reputable, and I'm putting my stamp of approval on it. I've dealt with him. He's fantastic. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian says hi. Brian says hi and sends his respect.
Tell Brian I said hey.
I will.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dan. What's your social media? What is social media for you?
I'm on Instagram and it's pawn_stars_pawnstarsexpert because I'm the sports expert on the show.
I know Dan.
There you go.
Oh my God. I'm sitting here going, why does this guy look so familiar?
Pawn Stars Sports Expert on Instagram. And then I'm on Facebook and so people can check it out.
That's awesome, Dan. That's great. Dan, send me a good picture of your mug. We got to do a little promo for you. I need a picture. Text me a nice picture with Memory Lane in it or something for me.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys so much. And I love talking about this stuff. It's our passion and it keeps us young.
No question. Dan, thanks a lot. I'll cut you the $30,000 at some point next month.
You got it.
See you, Dan.
Take care.
All right, Dan, take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye. Take care.
What an awesome interview, Buff. Like that was a lot of fun for me.
A lot of fun. It'll be more fun. We have our COVID expert. We've got our sports memorabilia expert, you know, along with Brian too, but that was just, wow.
Well, my point is this, is obviously, you know, you're sensitive because you don't want to alienate people about talking about money. I get that. But like the bottom line is this, on the outside looking in, I have no quote unquote skin in the game with the transactions that you're talking about with Dan. But as someone who appreciates, you know, sports and sports memorabilia, it's just a fun topic to discuss. And honestly, in a time where our economy is going crazy and going up and down, it's kind of cool to see something that I never honestly thought would be a stronger economic bet or gamble than trading cards. You know, it's crazy to see that.
Yeah, I'm with you, TJ. You know, and the thing is, again, I'll reemphasize the fact, Brian and I have been at this hard since the early 90s. And whether I continue to buy every year or not, I observed the collectible industry of sports memorabilia as well as guns and artifacts. And when I say the term gold brick, what I mean by gold brick, I cannot call stock a gold brick. I cannot call crypto a gold brick. It's too volatile.
You'll make money on crypto, but it just depends on how patient you want to be.
Patient we are and buying at the right time and all that kind of stuff. But in this, the brick grows.
Right.
It stays solid. And you can sell it. The reason it's gold brick is because I can sell it.
Right.
At any time. Well, I have not failed to find a buyer for some of this stuff at any time.
Let me tell you something that is a lot better about collectibles, like what we're talking about compared to crypto or stocks per se. If you're going to hold on to something, how good does that Bitcoin look on your shelf? It doesn't sit on your shelf.
Where is it? I had about 10 of them.
Right,
I don't know where they
right.
are.
Yeah, I mean, they're nowhere because they're not, I mean, even a thing, hardly. So the fact that you can, you know, maybe you make an investment on something that you're not going to make as much money on it immediately like you thought you were. Well, it looks damn good on the shelf.
It looks good on the shelf. And also, too, when you deal with crypto, especially in a Bitcoin situation, the amount of money you got to put out to make money these days
it's
in crypto.
Insane.
I mean, we all missed it. We all missed the opening. But then again, if we don't invest now, the big money it takes, we might miss an opening there. But I'm not into putting that much money into something that's so volatile.
No, I mean, I'm not giving financial advice, but if you want to buy crypto, there's some other options that, you know, you can get more money out of. Litecoin is decent.
Ethereum.
People have been making money on that doggy coin. But I mean, I don't know. It's just too volatile. Like if you are someone who wants to make an investment and you have a lot of money, the last thing I want to put it in is to a virtual currency that on any given day can go up by 20% or go down by 20%.
Right. And I'm not telling people not to buy it. I'm just saying I'm not an expert.
Right.
So I can't give advice. I'm an expert in sports memorabilia to a large extent, as Brian is more so than me, as Dan is more so than both of us to a large extent. That's where my expertise lies.
And so I'm sorry. It's just fun. It's fun, too. It's fun to talk about and show these collectibles. Like, I mean, I don't mind listening to someone who's an expert in crypto. But
you think I ever get tired looking at these
things? No, they're beautiful. They're pieces of art. I mean, like that's really what it is. We've touched on a little bit on the program, but like this is no different than really the art world and collecting art. Yes, it's not traditional canvas painting or things like that, but they're pieces of art. They're beautiful pieces and relics of history and time.
Let's do one thing real quick. I showed these pieces, okay?
Yeah.
Help me out. 1100.
Okay.
1500.
Uh-huh.
2000. Zero. 2700 for the baseball. Oh, shit.
What? I've got 11, 15, 2000. You tell me. I'll do the math, Buff.
Okay. 11, 15, 2000. And let's just do that. 11, 15, and 2000. Okay, those three items.
Okay.
The one that was 2000 is now worth 8. The one that was 15 is now worth, again, by him, let's call it 7. And the 61 that I paid 1100 for is, let's just be conservative, call it 7. 7, 7, and 8. What was the amount of cost I gave you?
4,600.
Okay, so 7, 7, and 8 comes to $22,000.
Yeah.
That's 4,600 spent in the last, I'll call it 5 years, that is now worth, what did I just say? $24,000.
That's
and probably more because I just gave conservative guesstimates.
Yeah, that I mean,
that's, where do you get that kind of appreciation? Where do you get that kind of appreciation?
I mean, crypto, but you also might lose it all.
Which I did at one point, and it came back. It's not right. my interest.
No, but that's what I'm saying, too. And again, going back to what I'm saying is if you are forced to sit on something or want to sit on something, those things are great to have around the house. They're conversation starters. They're pieces of art and decor. And no, it's cool to see.
Well, as soon as you stand there while I'm unlocking vaults and padlocks.
Right.
And you know, 3 foot deep safes. Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, even if you just take them out, you know, for yourself for an afternoon, you know what I mean? And that's what's really cool about it, because there's a reason, like we were talking about at the beginning, there's a reason we all, at one point, I mean, if you're a red blooded American male, for the most part, you collected something, you know, even young, you know, girls growing up collected things. Human beings are, you know, gatherers and collectors and hoarders. And, you know, it's always fun when you can find something that is your passion that actually ends up making you a ton of money.
Absolutely. Save the original box. I mean, Kristen's got the original Barbie. She just doesn't have the box. But the original Barbie she has is still worth like 10 grand or more, you know, as an example. And you talk about passion, these movie posters around my house that eventually whenever you get here, you can appreciate.
I've seen them, Buff. I have been to your house. I just haven't been to your new house.
There's more, though. Got to
because
see
you live in a museum. I mean, that's really what it is.
But sometimes I'll take one off one wall, move it to the other wall, move the other over there, and I have a whole new house. That's the beauty of it. Anyway, all kidding aside, enough of what I love. I'm just so passionate about all this stuff. TJ, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I hope our listeners really enjoyed it. We're a lifestyle show. We like to mix it up. I'll see you all from the Octagon coming Saturday. I will be back in the Octagon doing what I love to do. I miss it. It's been 2 weeks. I got to get back and do my beloved Octagon work. We've got Rosenstruck and Cyril Gane. Wow.
Yeah, he's a newcomer. Gane is relatively new. This heavyweight division is going through a transition process. There's this new breed of fighter that's sort of coming in and taking over. But we also have some staples that are sticking around and showcasing their talents as well. Like what Derek Lewis did to Curtis Blaydes last weekend was just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Congratulations, Derek. Unbelievable. What a fight. What an uppercut. That was just such a movie shot. And that was incredible.
Buff, I'm telling you, on paper, Curtis Blaydes wins that fight. But this is why we fight him. You know what I mean? Derek Lewis showed, like, I don't care what paper says. He's number two. I'm number four. Well, I guess Derek Lewis is number two now.
I agree. Well, it would be a fun weekend here. Fun time in the Octagon. Matana De La Rosa, Myra Bueno Silva, Nikita Krylov, Magomed Ankalaev. There's some good fights. Angela Hill's back against Ashley Yoder. God, Angela fights a lot.
She does. So, former Invicta champ. Harris.
Yeah, no, I love Angela. She's a fun person. She's really cool.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll see you this week with the Octagon. TJ, anything before we sign off?
This week I got to do something really neat, which was watch UFC 30, which had its 20th anniversary yesterday. I watched it with Eve Edwards on Fight Pass. We had a running commentary and talked about how much the UFC has changed. That was the first ever Zuffa show, obviously ran by Lorenzo, Frank, and Dana. It's cool to see the evolution in hindsight with the information that we know now about the UFC, and strongly suggest people check that out. It's archived on the UFC Fight Pass Facebook page. So even if you don't have Fight Pass, you can actually go watch an entire event with Eve Edwards and I and hear our commentary. It's the night that they crowned the first ever UFC 155-pound champion, which was Jens Pulver. So check that out. It's on the Fight Pass Facebook or Fight Pass proper. And then that's where you'll join me, Dean Thomas, and Pearl Gonzalez Saturday night, immediately following the Rosenstrike Gane match on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, and I encourage everybody to check out the show. I was on your show last Saturday with Pearl, and or was it the Saturday before? I forget, but I had a really good time. The show's getting a lot of eyeballs or earballs, whatever the term is.
Both.
And
yeah,
you're getting extra
ratings. Well.
Good for you. Good for you, TJ. I'm very happy to see how that's progressing, and it's a fun show. You do a great job. So I will see you next week. I'll see you from the Octagon. We'll have a guest next week, maybe Sammy. Sammy's birthday is tomorrow, TJ.
No kidding.
Yeah, if you want to make a note, her, she'll be 55 years old.
Well, I'll send her a message.
And I know she doesn't have a problem with me saying that on the show. Sammy always tells her age.
I mean, she's a young whatever age she will ever be. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Sammy's a person that doesn't get old. I promise you that.
Absolutely. I can promise you that. No question. All right. See you off in the Octagon. I was so happy to talk an hour on another passion I love, aside from my passion for our beloved UFC and MMA. TJ, have a great week. Everybody out there, enjoy yourselves. Beautiful weather in California. I hope you're experiencing the same. My heart goes out to everybody in Texas. All that you're going through right now, stay strong. God, every week we're getting punched in the face in this country in some place or another. But listen, I grew up in Texas. You could be a country within yourself. You got this, folks. All my heart, best wishes go out to you and to get through all this very safely, please. With that being said, everybody, set your goals, write them down, learn everything about them you can. So when you set on that path, you're the best you can be, whether you're first, second, or third, be the best you can be, because then you're winning. And that's what we're all about at It's Time Radio. With that thought in mind, have a great week. Win, win, win. Buffer out. I got to go look at my cards. I got to go cuddle my cards. I'll talk to you later.
It's Time with Bruce Buffer is a TJ DeSantis production and is property of Buffer Enterprises Incorporated. Its content is intended for private use only.